There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Indeed it is, and we are building up to England against Sweden, which is the first of two quarterfinals to look forward to. Don't jump the gun just too much, Tom. We are building up, of course, to that one, and that one's off at 6 o'clock. We're broadcasting live from Brasta, where the game is always on. But let's put in the picture of what else is going on at the moment. There's tennis from Wimbledon. Let's get the latest. Carlos van Rosenfeld.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is that Rafael Nadal has cruised through the first set against Alex de Minaur. He's won that one 6-1. And he's 2-1 down in the second set, but of course that is going on serve. And what I can tell you is John Del Potro against Bernard Puru, he's just won that game 6-4, 7-6, 6-3, 6-3, so he is through. Of course, Carl Edmund is playing Novak Djokovic. That starts a little bit later on at 7:30 this evening. And then, of course, Nick Kyrgios takes on Nishikori.
Let's get over to Ireland, shall we? Because Mark Archer's having a look at the DDF Irish Open, the latest leaderboard from there.
Yeah, live from Ballyliffin in County Donegal. It's the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, hosted, of course, by the Rory McIlroy Foundation. And it's the South African Erik van Rooyen with a two-shot lead after three holes that he's played today. He's 2-under for the day at 10-under par. That goes with his round of 71 and 65 the first 2 days. 2-under par after three holes today for a two-shot lead from the Frenchman Matteo Pavon and the big-hitting New Zealander Ryan Fox. Big good scoreboards today for Andy Sullivan, the Englishman, 7-under par for his round. John Ram also carding a 67, 5-under par there. So currently, though, it's Erik van Rooyen from South Africa, two-shot lead from Pavon and Fox.
What's happening in the Tour de France? 30 kilometres to go. The break coming together before Johan Alfredo has attacked again, knowing the peloton is getting closer. Can't make it stick. His two fellow Frenchmen bring him back before a confab. Alfredo shakes his head in frustration. Leaders around the 1 minute mark now as we get all the latest from the Tour de France, which is, as I said, into the last 30 kilometres. It is a sprint finish, so we're expecting the likes of Mark Cavendish and others to be there in just a few moments' time. Rugby, Super Rugby, let's get the latest.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is the Bulls are kicking off against the Jaguars. That's happening in 5 minutes' time. That game coming to you live from Pretoria. A few scores earlier this morning is the Chiefs beat the Brumbies 24 points to 19. Hurricanes beating the Blues 42-24, and the Waratahs running away with it against the Sunwolves 77-25.
Right, we are. It is just coming up to 10 past five, which means we are 50 minutes away from kickoff. To say there is a sense of anticipation is to underestimate things. We are broadcasting live from Brasti, which is absolutely heaving at the moment. It is thumping down here at the moment. Great expectation, great atmosphere, as I'm sure there is not just across the entire city of Dubai, across the whole of the UAE, across the world at the moment, as we get ready for quarterfinal football at the World Cup. England fans, though, well, there is just one phrase that they've been chanting for a couple of weeks now.
It's coming home, it's coming home, it's coming, football's coming home.
We'll go on getting back, it's on getting back.
It's coming, football's coming home, it's coming.
Adopted as the official tune of the England football team, and of course the supporters as well. In order for it to come home, they have to overcome a very, very diligent Sweden team. Now let's get a bit of a report on the Swedish team. They have gone under the radar in this tournament. They've gone about their business very diligently and very effectively. They're deserving of their place in this quarterfinal, and could they be, the boys in yellow, could they be the banana skin for England's hopes this year?
Victor Lindelof boarding the team bus en route to Samara to face England. He's the one and only Premier League player in the Sweden squad these days, and he's not exactly a superstar. The team's lack of top names is one reason why England and England fans feel confident of progression. But beware. Confidence is one thing, hubris quite another. Sweden's assistant coach thinks all the talk of football coming home is dangerous for England.
What should I say? They have no respect for us, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think it's just the nature of the human being, if to being an Englishman with a confidence. I think, yes, it's in the history.
I'm sure people back in England expect them to go through. If they weren't to go through and beat Sweden, that'd be a massive disappointment, to say the least.
I don't think people think that we're going to win. The pressure is on England, I think.
As well as hubris, there's another H word, heat, that the Swedes hope will help send England home. When it comes to the heat of match day in Samara, the Swedes are better prepared. Their base hotel, which England rejected in favour of Rapinoe, is way down south in Krasnodar. The nearby training ground is idyllically placed next to the Black Sea, but sea doesn't always mean breeze. The temperature here in the past week has seldom dropped below 28. Hot, yes, but Swansea's Martin Olsen is cool. He says there's nothing to fear from England.
We're not scared of anything. We've got good players, quality players, but we've shown in the past we can beat any team, any big team. So we see that game as a winnable game, so we go in there with a lot of confidence.
Under that southern Russian sun, Sweden have hopes of a golden future. Lifting the golden prize is still a possibility, but either way, their team is work in progress. Young, determined, together, well led. That sounds familiar.
It's a bit like the England story in a way.
Yeah, we've got a positive young squad, you know, a good manager, and we're playing with a lot of confidence, so, you know, we're just happy to be here and we're happy for the fans.
Those fans are being offered free Sweden squad postcards in Russia, which, of course, leads to the question, will it be Sweden or England home before the postcard?
We're about to find that out in the next few hours. As I said, massive crowds down here at Barasti for this game. Huge sense of anticipation. Getting a word from the organisers, the management down here. If you haven't got yourself into Barasti at the moment, no point heading down now because it is absolutely rammed and jammed outside on the roads as well. Talking of fans, though, they don't come much bigger than our Chris McCarty when we're talking all things soccer. He is a football fan through and through, so much so that he has found himself somehow over in Russia. He was there yesterday to watch the Belgium-Brazil game. He can bring us all the latest now live from Russia as we try and connect. Good evening to you, Chris McCarty.
A very good afternoon to you as it is, Tom. Hope all's well over there in Dubai.
Everything's well here. Talk us through last night. Talk us about the atmosphere at the game.
Oh, incredible, Tom. Absolutely incredible. The Brazilians outnumbered the Belgian fans by probably 100 to 1, sorry. There were a number of pockets of Belgian fans, but I think the locals, there were so many Brazilians, the locals themselves all supporting, willing Brazil on to what would have been a yet another World Cup semi-final in their quest to get a sixth World Cup title. It wasn't to be, though, you know, Tom. Belgium, full credit to Roberto Martinez, the boss. He came up with a plan, a different plan, a different looking Belgian side. He changed the formation, went to a back four. That kind of flummoxed in many respects Brazil in that opening half. They were good value for their 2-0 lead. Okay, Brazil came into it in that second half, I think in all as well. 27 shots at goal over the course of the 90 minutes, Brazil, but not enough. Belgium thoroughly deserving of it. They're back into the semi-finals of a World Cup since 1986, Tom. That's all the way back then. For the last time that Belgium made the last four. Can they go one step further, though? Can they make the final? They'll be meeting France on Tuesday. Cannot wait for that. And just another note as well, it is worth pointing out, all four semi-finalists will come from Europe. The first time that's happened since 2006.
The European Championships under the guise of the World Cup at the moment. There are a few critics out there, maybe unfairly, maybe fairly, suggesting that France-Belgium game will be a final win and a final to a certain degree, given the way the draw has developed over the last couple of weeks. Anything in that? Is that taking away from the strength of the teams in today's quarterfinals?
I think it is, Tom. I think one thing we've learned from this World Cup is to expect the unexpected. You know, a lot of favourites have gone out. Who would have thought? I think, yes, France and Belgium are much fancied, but on that other side of the draw, who would have expected Russia, in all honesty, into the quarter-final? A lot of England fans wouldn't have expected their nation to be in the quarter-final. So, yeah, I think it would be remiss of us to write off anyone, but undoubtedly France or Belgium, the winner of that semi-final, will start as favourites in the World Cup final. Why? Well, we saw France yesterday underline what a fine side they are, and perhaps not the prettiest to watch, but they're effective. And then last night, Belgium, so impressive in that opening 45 minutes. And when you have Kevin De Bruyne, when you have Eden Hazard in the form that they are in, I thought both were excellent, certainly in that first half last night, then you give yourselves a wonderful opportunity. So the short answer to your question is no, I don't think we can write off anyone, but undoubtedly France or Belgium, whichever nation does reach the World Cup final, will start as favourites.
That was then. Obviously, you've had the opportunity to enjoy the sort of the atmosphere over in Russia over the last 24 hours or so. What's the chat been ahead of today's quarterfinals? Obviously, a lot of local pride with Russia making it through to that. But what's been the chat about this first game, England against Sweden?
An awful lot of fans that I'm talking to, Tom, are fancying England. And you know, I've been speaking to one or two locals over the past 24 hours, and England are very much their second team. And I think that kind of comes back to their love of the Premier League. But a lot of expectation that England will get a big result and a big performance today to reach the semi-final. Obviously, they're all optimistic that Russia will be joining them in that semi-final. But speaking to, as I say, one or two, they are very much of the opinion that this is, for Russia, already a massive success. Not many were expecting them. Okay, I think there was an expectation they'd get out the group. But given the fact they've beaten Spain, champions, winners back in 2010, has given them optimism, and it's given them hope that maybe, just maybe, Russia can reach the semi-final of the World Cup. And what an extraordinary story that would be for the hosts.
Chris, looking at England today, what do you feel they need to do to beat the Swedes?
They've got to work their socks off, because you can bet your life, Carl, that Sweden will do likewise. You know, Sweden, tactically, very astute. I was talking to Tom earlier in the week on the agenda, and one thing that has struck me with this Swedish team is that they all know their jobs inside out. It's pretty straightforward. It's 4-4-2. It's not the prettiest to watch, but it is effective. They kind of remind me a little of Leicester City back a couple of years back when they won the Premier League. They play the front two, Olli Toivonen and Marcus Berg, and they get through so much work. So in order for England to win today, I think we need big performances. I say we, as in the collective there. I'm a proud Scot. I'm not necessarily hoping England win, but I do think what they do require is Raheem Sterling and Jesse Lingard. They've got to get off the lines. They've got to get in between that compact midfield of Sweden and the defensive line. If they can do that, if they can pick up little pockets of space there, I think they could have a massive say in the outcome of this match. But don't rule out Sweden, because, of course, they knocked out Italy and ensure that Italy are not at a World Cup finals for the first time since 1958. They were excellent in their win over Mexico. I thought they were superb, not pretty once again, but they were superb in their win over Switzerland in the last 16. So England will have to produce a big performance. If they do that, though, I still make them just slight favourites to get through to the semi-final.
Chris, a lot of hype about the two matches yesterday, the France-Uruguay match, Brazil and Belgium. Much of the focus today has been about Sweden-England, but there's another massive quarterfinal match tonight. The hosts, Russia, have defied all odds to go to where they've got to in the tournament, and they're one of the best teams in the tournament to date, albeit they haven't really received the kudos just at the moment, just as we stand this weekend. Croatia, who are on their day, a match for anyone. Where do you see this match being won and lost?
Yeah, I certainly think Croatia undoubtedly will start as favourites, Arch, just because of what they've produced. I think what you will see from Russia will be similar to how they played it against Spain. They'll look to concede possession, they'll look to sink back, they'll defend deep, and they'll look to try and frustrate Croatia, and then look to hit them on the counter-attack. As for Croatia, they've got to be patient. The likes of Ivan Rakitic, Luka Modric, they've got to get on the ball. One thing I didn't think Spain did well enough was circulate the ball quickly enough. Croatia have to play with tempo today, play with a bit of pace. And similarly to England, when we're talking Raheem Sterling and Jesse Lingard, I actually think the biggest player for Croatia today is Ivan Perisic. He's coming off the back of a great season over in Italy with Inter Milan. He is someone who is direct. He's quick. He can get at Russia. And I think one thing from the Spain match is there was not enough individuals in that Spain team that was willing to take responsibility and go at Russia. They were too quick to pass the buck. I don't see that with Croatia today. So I am expecting Croatia to win. Again, I don't expect a classic. I don't expect there to be many goals. But if Croatia can score and score early, then it could be a long afternoon for Russia, because one thing that Croatia are adept at, and that is keeping the ball.
Just finally, Chris McCarty, before I let you get on and enjoy these quarterfinals today, obviously a lot of fans were put off going to Russia because of cost and because of other bits and pieces that were doing the rounds before the tournament. They didn't put you off, though, that you've been, not once, but in fact you've sent your mate twice now, just for you guys to be there as well. So what's it been like from a sort of fan experience? A goodie?
I've got to say, Tom, it's been incredible. I know you were over a week or so again, but the city of Kazan, it is a beautiful city. We've been made to feel very welcome, as have all the fans. The atmosphere has been fantastic. And as I said on yesterday's show, the security presence has been quite awe-instructing in the sense that there are so many people here that you feel really safe. And, you know, the Russian people have been very friendly. We've had no issues whatsoever. We've seen no trouble. Everyone is enjoying the World Cup as it should be enjoyed, and that is with smiles on faces. Even the Brazilian fans, a lot of whom were in tears when we were leaving the stadium last night, Tom, later in the evening, smiles on faces. They were happy. They've enjoyed this World Cup as much as anyone else have. So from that perspective, I've got to say a massive well done to Russia. From what I've seen, they have pulled off another incredible and unforgettable World Cup.
Final one from us, prediction time. As you always ask Adam Bridge for a prediction at the end of his little plots, we're going to ask you exactly the same thing. Who makes it through to the other semi-final?
I'm going with Croatia, Tom. It may well take extra time, but I think Croatia will have too much for Russia. For England, Sweden, it's going to be tight, but I expect England to win it, and I can't quite believe I'm saying this. I do think England are going to get to this World Cup final. I really do. I've got a bad feeling, Tom. Whether they win it, well, you'll have to ask me next week. But England through to the semi-final. It will be England against Croatia. The other one, of course, France, Belgium. And may the best team that is in England win from there.
He's got a bad feeling. There's something in the water. Enjoy Russia, my friend. Thanks so much indeed to Chris McCarty and all the team over there. We're going to take a short break as we try and find a little space to breathe down here at Barasti. It is heaving down here, which just gives you an idea of what this game and what this tournament means to football and sports fans the world over.
This is The Grill, in association with Barasti Superdome, the only place to view football this summer.
Game on. You are listening to The Grill, broadcasting live from Barasti, where the game is always on, and we're getting ready for a biggie as well. Sweden against England, kicking off at 6 o'clock. It's on the big screen. It's on every screen down here. Forget the big screen. It's on every single screen.
You can choose where to watch it. You can sit in the pool. You can
sit in
the table.
The thing is, you've got to get in first. Yeah. That's the problem
at the
moment.
That is
the problem, Tom. It is rammed down here. And there is plenty of other sport going on around the world as well. Let's get down to Silverstone. Mark Archers, having a look at qualifying for us for the British Grand Prix.
Yeah, Q1 qualifying is underway. And I can tell you that Sebastian Vettel and his Ferrari has just broken posted a new track record at Silverstone. He's posted a 126.585. He currently leaves in Q1. Lewis Hamilton is second. Valtteri Bottas, his teammate at Mercedes, is third. Max Verstappen is currently fourth. And Kimi Raikkonen is back in fifth. I'll keep you bang up to date with the Formula One qualifying action that comes in over the next 30 minutes.
10 kilometres to go in the Tour de France. Reduced Bunch is now streaming onto the finish with just 10Ks left. Arnaud Demare is out of contention for the stage win. But could Richie Porte's GC hopes have taken a huge blow on day one? The BMC rider could lose critical time here if he can't chase back on. We've had a couple of crashes as well in the last couple of kilometres. So it's all go down there on stage one of the Tour de France. Let's get over to Wimbledon. I believe that Rafa Nadal is on court as we speak.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is Rafa Nadal is on court, and once again the French Open champion looking very, very strong. He's taken the first set 6-1. He's up 5-2 in the second set, and it seems like he'll be seeing off Alex de Minaur quite comfortably if the game stays the way it is. I can tell you that Milos Raonic is through. He's beaten Denis Novak in four sets. Matthew Edberton and Gilles Simon are still on court. They're into a fourth set. Gilles Simon leading 6-1, 7-6, 6-3. And the fourth set is going on serve. And then John Del Porto is through. He's beat Bernard Perrault 6-4, 7-6, 6-3.
Right, well, let's go to the continued build-up to this big game. Both teams are out on the field over in Russia at the moment, getting ready for today's game. Mark Archer's got the team news for us. We'll bring that to you in just a few moments' time. Confirmed lineups from both the England and the Sweden camp. In the meantime, though, England have been under a huge amount of pressure going into this one. Have they or not? Remains to be seen. Let's get a bit more on the build-up for England going into this one.
Sweden are 2-1 outside. It's England coming in at 5-2. Big, big favourites. But before we talk about the game, I just want to talk about everything that is kind of happening and snowballing, if you like, in England. You must have experienced a bit of that during Euro 96. Mm. As a player, like, how much are you aware of it and how much do you have to be careful not to get too carried away with it?
Well, they'll be aware of it. Of course they will, because anybody who's associated with the England team, wives, girlfriends, aunties, uncles, they're in the newspapers, which is, you know, a joke anyway. How shall they not get carried away with it? Absolutely not. They're miles away from winning the World Cup. Absolutely miles away. Yes, they've qualified. They've got this, you know, penalty hoodoo off their backs to a certain extent. And they're going to have, you know, three equally hard games if they are to lift the World Cup. And these games will only intensify in in getting more difficult in the level of play, and England do have to improve. We keep on saying it. It's good to bring people back down to earth. They've only beaten Panama, Tunisia, and Colombia, and a poor Colombia on penalties. So we all want them to succeed, but there's still a long, long way to go with better teams to face.
Well, not all of us do. Oh, grumpy pants in the corner there.
What, I've never said that. I never said a word.
Do you don't want England to succeed?
See, yeah. Steve, if you're Southgate, how much do you play on this and all the euphoria that's going on, and how much you need to dilute it to calm it down?
I get the impression that even before this tournament started, he had everybody on quite an even keel. Mm. And I think he'll just be sending the same message game after game. Don't get carried away. And he'll have done something similar after the Belgium game. He'll be saying, look, OK, we've lost a game, but, you know, when we won, we didn't get carried away. Now that we've lost, let's not get carried away either. And you saw against Colombia how they kept their heads and they actually kept on an even keel. So I think that'll be the easiest job that he has, keeping them on an even keel. The hardest job's going to be getting them to beat the teams that are remaining in this tournament.
And of course, that first team is Sweden, where you know exactly what you're going to get, really. There's going to be no surprises from this.
No surprises. Two banks of four. You've got two up front in Toivonen and Berg. They're not going to surprise you with anything, but at the same time, they're very good at what they do. They're going to get numbers forward, Forsberg and Klassen on the wings only when they have to. Other than that, they're not going to gamble. They're not exceptional at anything going forward, but they are very good and well disciplined at the back. The other concern for England going into this one is there's a huge height difference between the Swedish team and the English starting 11, or what you expect between the two starting 11s. And England have conceded set pieces against Panama, conceded a set piece again later against Colombia. If Sweden are to win this game, that's where you feel they have the advantage. How you match up and how you pair up is the challenge for Gareth Southgate, because again, given the high differences, it's not an easy fix.
Tick-tock, the clock is ticking away. We are half an hour away from kickoff. England against Sweden in a World Cup quarter-final. More build-up after this.
This is The Grill, in association with Barasti Superdome, bringing the football stadium to you this summer.
Peter Sagan and Andre Gripel are in cruise control of the first stage of the Tour de France. They are in pole position. 3 kilometres to go. Nairo Quintana, who had been thought as a possible, has had a nightmare stage with a puncture. From nowhere, the stage is proving a nightmare for a number of the riders. Froome's at a bad one. Now Nairo Quintana as well. As I said, 3 kilometres to go on that one. Keep an eye on it. We've got team news for you. England against Sweden. Mark Archer.
Yeah, I'll give the England team news to you shortly and also give Sweden a good go at trying to get those pronunciations right. England have announced an unchanged team from the side that backed Colombia. Ashley Young and Kyle Walker both overcame minor problems which weren't expected to keep them out, so they will start. Jamie Vardy, who much of the speculation regarding injury has been discussed a week, is fit enough to be named on the bench despite a groin injury. In goal for England, Jordan Pickford. Back three of Maguire, Stones and Walker, with Henderson playing the holding role in front of the back three. Ashley Young, Dele Alli, Jesse Lingard and Kieran Trippier across the four-man midfield. Up front, of course, Harry Kane, the captain, and Raheem Sterling will play up on the right-hand side. So that's the England lineup. Sweden have made 2 changes, both of which we were expected. Right back, Michael Lustig has suspended, so Emil Kraft replaces him. Sebastian Larsson is back from a ban, so he takes the place of Gustav Svensson. In goal for Sweden, Olsen. Back four of Augustin, Granqvist, Lindelof and Kraft. A midfield four of Forsberg, Ekdal, Klassen and Larsson. Of course, Forsberg and Larsson will be more forward-thinking up the wings and up the flanks for Sweden. Up front, Berg and Toynevin. So that's your 2 starting lineups for England versus Sweden.
Let's hear from the England manager and captain, Southgate and Kane.
I've been involved in matches against Sweden many times, and always the team has a very strong identity, has better players than people sometimes give them credit for. This team is the same. You only have to look at their results in the qualifying, beating France, in the playoff, beating Italy, in this tournament, knocking out Germany. So they're obviously a very strong side, and one we will have to play really well against to beat them.
Hopefully I'll carry on scoring and we go far. we're not really thinking about being world champions yet. We've still got a long way to go. If anything, this is the second half of the tournament now. You know, this game tomorrow is going to be massive.
We came into this tournament as the least experienced team. We're one of the youngest teams in it, but we said that we're an improving side who want to make our own history. And we've already, you know, first knockout win in 10 years, first win in a penalty shootout at the World Cup for England, highest number of goals scored in an individual game. So we want to keep making that history, and we know that it's not since 1990 that we were in a World Cup semi-final. So we're hugely ambitious and want to do that, but we know that there's nothing in our mind other than tomorrow's game. In life, I've been in football for 30 odd years. You're never as good as people say in times when things are going well, and you're never as poor as people say when things are going badly. So I'm very balanced about that. I'm just focused on preparing the team as well as I can for what's a really exciting challenge for us. And if we can continue to excite everybody at home and make them proud as the players have up to now, then that's a really rewarding thing for us all.
Right, we've been joined by Robbie Greenfield, who's joined us from the golf course, and he's taken up his place to watch what goes on this crucial game. The good news, I suppose, Robbie, is the fact that Gareth is wearing his waistcoat.
He certainly is, and he looks rather dapper, doesn't he? I think he's giving Fabio Capello a run for his money as the best-dressed England manager in the last 20 years or so. But Gareth Southgate, what a performance overall from him. I think the main credit that we have to give him is he's actually made this team likeable, and he's made them... I won't call them... They're not Brazil. I mean, they're not Spain. It's not tiki-taka just yet from England, but they're a likeable team to watch. He's found a formula to get the best out of this team. And I think we all knew going into this, as England fans, that the team had limited abilities versus some of the bigger nations, the Argentinas, the Frances, the Spains of this world. But they've managed to get this far, and they've got this wonderful opportunity now against another team with limited abilities in Sweden. You wouldn't say that any of the players in Sweden are household names, so to speak. Zlatan Ibrahimovic was for so long the talisman of Sweden, and yet they don't really have one of those. But they've got this collective spirit and unity, which we've seen them put to good effect so far in the World Cup. They were terribly unlucky against Germany, I thought. They were excellent against Mexico. They were very organised, very disciplined against Switzerland in the round of 16. And they've got a very good record against England. So this is not going to be an easy game. I think England will be relieved that Colombia played such an underhand manner against the English, and I don't think Sweden will. It'll be tough, it'll be physical, but I don't think we're going to see much of the histrionics and the play acting that we saw in the previous match.
Mark Archer alongside me as well. Easy for Robbie and I to get carried away. I think an entire nation has, and as we heard from the ESPN lot there, Shaka Hislop amongst others, talking about sort of managing those expectations. I mean, when you look at it on paper, England haven't really beaten much quality. This is going to be their toughest game of the tournament thus far.
It is indeed. And look, Colombia are a good side, and they managed to find a way past them, albeit they gave up that last-minute equaliser when they thought they had the game in the bag. But
Colombia without James Rodriguez, though.
Yeah, and Colombia created not a lot throughout that match. They barely until the last 10, 15 minutes. England, for me, were very good defensively. They were very good structurally, but they stopped playing for the last 15, 20 minutes. They were just trying. They went from playing and trying to win the match to trying to hang on, and that was a bad thing for them because it invited a Colombia onto them. They forced some more opportunities, and they got themselves that late equaliser that got them in the match. Extra time came, and it could have been anyone's game. Both teams looked settled, almost dead on their feet, looked like they were happy to go to penalties and go to the lottery that was. So I'll tell you what, something about today's match, Sweden will not fear England. Sweden will go into the thing, we've got just as good a chance of beating England as any other team in this competition, and they've played on paper probably tougher teams than England already and defeated them, so they will not be scared of England, and they'll just be loving actually that they've gone under the radar, and the England fans and the hype's there and the press is putting all the pressure on England. Sweden will actually love that. They love being that under the radar team. They love being the underdogs, the understated team. The team is exactly what they are. They don't have those big name players. That's exactly what they come together as a team. They'll perform as a team, they'll go down as a team, they'll win as a team, and that's going to be the interesting, you know, for me, what's going to happen this afternoon.
It's going to be, I suppose, the other thing as well, there's that old adage, isn't it, in tournament football, especially the World Cup, that, you know, in order to be world champions, you've got to beat the teams that put in front of you. So there's no point umming and ahhing about who you've beaten thus far. It's just dealing with each game as it comes up.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom, and I think where England's been very fortunate, things have seemed to have gone their way with other teams beating other teams, him is not available for the Colombian game. So a lot of things have played into England's hands. But at the end of the day, I think this is going to definitely be their toughest test. To me, they deserve to be there. And I do feel that if all things go right today, that they can beat Sweden.
Let's get some more thoughts from a couple of those in the know. Rio Ferdinand's a man who's turned out for England time and time again. He's also been very vocal in his support of England at this year's tournament. He's been working as a pundit with one of the big stations. Let's get Rio's thoughts on the game ahead.
We can get to the final, man. Then it's just like, you don't know. I think we're going to go to the final. I'm a believer. Right now, they've made me believe. First time in years that I've believed, man, that this England team can do it, because I think we've got the right mentality, and I think when you've got your goal scorer is banging form, scoring goals, you've got a chance. There's a real kind of feel-good buzz around this squad that's not been there before. There's always been a depressive cloud that surrounds England squads for some reason over years gone by, but this squad seems like everyone's happy to be there, everyone's enjoying it, everyone's on the same wavelength.
What have you made of Sweden so far?
Yeah, they're just a solid team. They're always what they have been. It's a solid, well-oiled, efficient team. Mm-hmm. Very, very solid defensively. Don't give much away. But if you give them an opportunity up the other end, they're good enough to take it. They're good enough players to capitalise on mistakes. So I think it'll be a stiff test in terms of breaking them down. They don't give you much space at all around the box. So we're going to have to be a little bit more inventive around the box and have a bit more imagination than we've showed in the last couple of games.
Those are the thoughts of Rio Ferdinand, former England Manchester United man, but also we need to balance that with the thoughts of others from across the globe. Of course Rio's going to get behind the England team. What about Harry Kewell though? Harry Kewell is obviously a former Australian international, played a lot of his football up in the Premier League as well. Let's get the latest from Harry Kewell. Which way is he siding? Does he believe it's a foregone conclusion?
I feel they've got a wonderful opportunity to progress. Don't get me wrong, Sweden are a fantastic team. They're full of energy. I think it's going to be a tough game, but I feel like they've got enough quality to get through that. And then I think the real, obviously, semi-finals are going to be a big test, because we're Croatia or Russia, then you just don't know.
So if I put a lot of pressure on you now and somebody will ask you, where exactly, how far do you feel that the England team could go?
You really want to get me into trouble. Look, I mean, personally, if anything, I believe 100% they'll get to the semi-finals. And then, obviously, when you arrive into a cup competition on a semi-final, anything can happen.
So those are the thoughts of Harry Kewell. So we've done Rio, we've done Harry. What about Danny as well? It seems to be the go-to, doesn't it, at the moment, that any sportsman on any sporting arena at the world, around the world at the moment, is being asked not about their sport, but about the World Cup, including Danny Willett.
We've heard a lot of these, haven't we? It'd be nice. It'd be nice to see him play well, but it's as an England fan, you always want them to, but I'm not sure. We'll see. There's a lot of great teams left still. So hopefully.
Danny Willett giving his thoughts there on course. It seems to be the go-to question, doesn't it? I mean, well, I suppose that proves the success and the extraordinary the eyeballs on this tournament.
It transcends not only sport. I mean, it transcends everything. It gets into those sort of consciences of people that just don't follow sport. Just hearing it in the office, you know, people that have absolutely no interest in sport have been structuring their weekends around watching the World Cup, and it's just something that bigger than sport. It brings people together, doesn't it, Tom? And it unites entire nations. The feel good factor of the nations that are left in this World Cup now, particularly Russia. I think a lot. We need to give them a lot of credit as well, because they've not done it the easy way. They had to get past Spain in the round of 16. Okay, they had a group in which it was you could see that as the host nation they could get through and finish as runners up behind Uruguay, but no one really expected much out of Russia, and I think that's helped this World Cup, that the home nation is here right until the final stages of the tournament, have made the quarterfinals, and they've got a tough test coming up later with that Croatian side who are very good on the ball, aren't they? Luka Modric has been pulling the strings there for that Croatian team, and if you've got a forward like Mario Mandzukic as well, you've got an awful lot of attacking talent in that Croatian side. So I think this might be the end of the road for Russia, but having made the quarterfinals, everyone is absolutely buzzing. I know Chris McCarty, our colleague on Sports Tonight, was over there yesterday to watch the Belgium-Brazil game in Kazan. He said the atmosphere was unbelievable. And this was a tournament that we had fears for. We thought there would be crowd trouble. We thought there would be violence. We thought we were worried. But I think Putin has put the iron rod down, hasn't he? He's thrown the hammer down, and I think every football hooligan within a 500 million square mile radius has been thrown under lock and key.
But you know what summarised it to me, Tom, and you speaking about how fanatical the people have been is, there were these ballerinas in some opera in Russia, and during their break, they were actually watching the Russian team on some little mobile phone, all dressed up for the show. And I just think that just shows you what the World Cup is all about. And people that wouldn't usually follow it are taking time out to watch the games, which to me has been absolutely fantastic.
Fantastic tournament, another fantastic game coming your way in just a few moments' time. We are, what, just under 15 minutes away from kickoff. We take one final break, and then, of course, we will be back with final build-up ahead of England against Sweden in the World Cup.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, in association with Barasti Superdome. Football lives at Barasti this summer.
Going to build up to England against Sweden in just a few moments' time. That one kicks off in 11 minutes, but there is other sport ongoing. Let's get out to Silverstone first, find out how things stand there. Formula One Grand Prix qualifying.
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton is definitely in a hurry to watch the England-Sweden football match because he's just posted a track record in second round of qualifying. He leads Q2 from Sebastian Vettel, who earlier broke a track record, but that's been beaten now by Lewis Hamilton. So it's Hamilton 1 so far, Sebastian Vettel 2, Valtteri Bottas in third, and Kimi Raikkonen in fourth. Verstappen and Ricciardo with the Red Bulls, 5 and 6. So things going to form, Tom. It's Mercedes, followed by Ferrari, followed by Mercedes, followed by Ferrari, and a couple of Red Bulls in there in 5th and 6th. That's Q2. I'll come back with Q3 in the final 5-10 minutes of the show.
Colombian sprinter Fernando Gaviria holding off Peter Sagan to win stage one of this year's Tour de France and claim the yellow jersey. Carnage behind them. Richie Porte crossing the line. Chris Froome following after a disastrous first stage. They've lost around 50 seconds because of punctures earlier on. Nairo Quintana still out there somewhere at the moment as well. And no Mark Cavendish as well. He dropped off early. So well done to the Colombian rider there. The first stage of the tour has been complete. Let's get to Wimbledon now. Let's get the latest from CBR.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you, of course, defending French Open champion Rafael Nadal is in action at Wimbledon today, and I'll tell you what, he is dominating that game. He's two sets to love up at the moment, Carl Edmund, of course, is playing Novak Djokovic. That's the other big game of the day. That is kicking off at 7:30 this evening. And what I can tell you is former finalist Milos Raonic is through to the next round. So Rafa Nadal has won the first set 6-1. He's won the second set 6-2. And the third set is going on serve, but it seems like he will make his way through. Of course, French Open champion Simona Halep, she's in action at the moment on the women's side of the draw. She won the first set 6-3. She lost the second set 6-4. And she is 2-1 up in the final set.
Right, let's go over to Ireland for the Colm McLaughlin Invitational.
The Colm McLaughlin, yes, inviting me to play in the Pro-Am. Thank you very much to Colm McLaughlin and the good folk at Dubai Duty Free for that. It is a sensational place, by the way. I would recommend Ballyliffin Golf Club to any golf fans out there. But the tournament itself, two names that I have to confess I know very little about. Erik van Rooyen and Joachim Lagergren are the two leaders of this Irish Open. It is a Rolex Series event, so it's a $7 million prize purse, Tom. Erik van Rooyen is 5-under through 8 holes today, 13-under for his round, and he's opening up a bit of a gap at the top of this leaderboard. Joachim Lagergren is 10-under. Then you've got Matteo Pavon and Ryan Fox, son of the legendary All Black Grant Fox. He's at 8-under par. Russell Knox, a former contender at the Irish Open, at 7-under. And then comes the defending champion, John Rahm, the DP World Tour champion as well. The Spaniard is 6-under par. He's alongside Lee Westwood, who's also on that number. What of Rory McIlroy? Well, he is all the way back at 1-under par, having completed his round. It's just not really the kind of course that suits Rory McIlroy. That being said, it's thrown up some very unexpected leaders at the Irish Open.
Big thanks to Robbie Greenfield there. Right, there is a phrase that we started the show with. It's coming home. In a couple of hours' time, we'll be working out whether it is coming home still, or we're going to wait another 4 years to be able to sing this one. It is a story that sums up England's football aspirations, and this is the story behind it.
This is the moment they'll talk about. When Gascoigne chinked through as of old and stamped his indelible mark on Euro 96.
The DJ put the song on at the end, and suddenly, and we didn't know that everyone knew it, everyone starts singing it. And honestly, it's an unbelievable, unbelievable thing.
Everyone seems to know the score. They've seen it all before.
Whose idea was it?
Well, the song,
who wrote the song?
The song music was written by Ian Brodie. Ian Brodie of the Lightning Seeds. He just felt that we represented football fans, and so asked us to write the lyrics.
The weird thing was, he was famous for writing bittersweet love songs, and he said, I don't think I could write a football song. So we came in and we wrote a bittersweet love song about the England team.
Yeah, the lyrics were that thing of like trying to chime with the real experience of an England football fan, which is not that we're going to win, but nor that we think we're going to lose. It's somewhere in between. It's hope over experience. It's like, we're probably going to lose, but you never know, you never know. And that, I think, is what made it something that people have remembered and that people sung at the time.
It was always played on the bus, wasn't it, on the way to the games?
It's definitely the best football song, isn't it?
Yeah.
It got the nation together, didn't it?
When we took Three Lions to the England training camp and played it, we said, is there any players who'd like to come and be in the video? Now, to be in a pop video, you'd think that would be...
For most
and
laps.
I remember you said, oh, can't we just sign some football instead?
I was dull and I was boring. Yeah. I actually watched it this morning and I was thinking to myself, I wonder how come I'm not in that video?
Because you were signing footballs, Alan.
We
asked.
You didn't have any footballs to sign.
Yeah, we got Steve Stone instead.
Steve Stone.
You've been trying to look like him ever since.
I did the one...
There's a bit of a history behind the story, the song that has become synonymous with it. Yeah, you'll hear the national anthems blaring out behind us. We are just moments away from the kickoff. Robbie Greenfield, prediction time, please.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. I actually think England are going to do it. I shouldn't say that. No, I'm going to jinx them, aren't I? I think they will do it. They'll scrape through. It'll be extremely tight by one goal. I think England are going to get there, and I'll probably just jinx them.
We heard Chris McCarthy had a bad feeling earlier on in the show. I've got a bad feeling about this one as well. I think England are coming home, but early rather than too late. But maybe that's just me. What about you, CVR?
England 1, Sweden 0. It's coming home.
And you, Mark Archer?
For now.
Yeah, I'm going to take England as well. I think it's their time. All the stars are aligned for England to go a long way in this tournament, and none so better than playing Sweden now. I'll also back Croatia to beat Russia in the late kickoff at 10 o'clock.
Now you're just showing off.
We have just been playing the It's Coming Home tune that is synonymous with all things England. As you heard, it was performed by Skinner and Baddiel. It was written by Ian Brodie of the Lightning Seeds as well. So Brodie, Skinner, Baddiel, that's who we get to write our songs. The Swedes, well, I think they've won the contest on this one because they got a certain David Guetta to write their song. We were born to fly, so let's keep living till it all falls down. Let's close our eyes and let the moment drown the whole world out. We're in this together. Hear our hearts beat together. We stand strong together. So David Guetta, who wrote that song specifically for the Swedish football team, it's not a bad supporter to have on board, is it, Mark Archer?
Done well. I thought they might have gone back and got some ABBA or something, but no, they've gone with the modern-day David Guetta, and it's a good tune, that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Very, very good tune.
They've won on that one, haven't they?
For
no,
sure.
I prefer Three Lions.
I wonder why.
That's it from the grill. Thanks very much indeed to Phil and Louis and all the team down here at Brasti for looking after us and the tens of thousands who are turning out to watch it over the World Cup. Thanks very much indeed to Engineer IT and all the team for keeping us on board. Branding as well, they've done their bit. And of course, Liam back in the studio. Thanks very much indeed to you, Mark Archer.
Thank you, Thomas.
CVR, thank you.
Thank you. Have a great week, Tom.
Robbie, enjoy this one. Thanks for that.
Cheers. Come on, England.
Make sure you tune in tomorrow. You'll have a complete review of this particular game and, of course, a look ahead to the semi-finals. Keep it locked here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Robbie, Chris and the rest of the sports team are your place to go for all things World Cup. If you would like to watch live action, get yourself down here to Brasti. This is it. It's time now to hand over to... it's time for us to sit back and watch the first of the second day of quarterfinals. It's England against Sweden. Sweden at the FIFA World Cup. Good night.
We're not creative enough. We're not positive enough. It's coming home. It's coming home.
It's coming. Football's coming home. We'll go on getting back. It's on getting back. It's on getting back. It's on getting back. It's coming. Football's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming home.
Everyone seems to know the score. They've seen it all before. They just know, they're so sure that England's gonna throw it away, gonna blow it away. But I know they can play, 'cause I remember three lines on the shirt. Jules Rimet still gleaming, 30 years of hurt. Never stop me dreaming. So many jokes, so many sneers, but all those also years weigh you down through the years. But I still see that tackle by Moore, and when Lineker scored, Bobby belting the ball, and Norby dancing three lines on a shirt. Jules Rimet still gleaming, 30 years of hurt. Never stop me dreaming.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.